You're listening to PX Pulse, a regular podcast bringing you fresh voices on critical issues facing HIV prevention research today. Early in 2021, the field began to hear about exciting but complex findings from two trials studying a broadly neutralizing antibody. This antibody is called VRC01, and the two trials studying it are called the AMP trials for antibody-mediated prevention. They were conducted among cisgender women in sub-Saharan Africa and among gay men and transgender people in South and North America and in Europe. And in each trial, people received infusions of the VRC01 antibody every 8 weeks. The AMP studies hoped to test a concept. Can a broadly neutralizing antibody, BNABs for short, protect against HIV? Sounds simple enough, but the complicated findings have prompted discussion and debate. In this episode of PX Pulse, we learn what questions the AMP results have answered and what new questions they raise. We talk to a leading BNAB researcher, IAVI's Devin Sock, and a veteran HIV research advocate, Mark Hubbard, who served on AMP's protocol team. But first, my colleague AVACer Daisy Ouya joined me to ask Gail Broder to go through the findings with us. Gail is part of the team at the HIV Vaccine Trials Network that conducted the AMP studies, and she's one of the trial's chief explainers.
You know, when you write a study objective, you write this question thinking that you're going to have this really simple, clear sort of answer. And that's actually not what we found. What we found was this really nuanced, really layered kind of data that needs a lot of interpretation. And some of it was surprising. We now know that a broadly neutralizing antibody can indeed be effective at preventing HIV infection. But it all boils down to whether the virus is susceptible to that antibody, whether it's vulnerable to that antibody.
You say susceptible or vulnerable. Researchers will say, is the virus sensitive to that antibody?
Yeah. And we think about sensitivity in other contexts, right? You know, so if you have an allergy to a medication, that means you're sensitive to that medicine, right? It's the same kind of idea, but we're now thinking about whether the virus is sensitive to this antibody. The second key finding for me is that we now have an assay in the lab. An assay is just a fancy word for a lab test. We have a lab test that can tell us ahead of time what we think the sensitivity of any particular virus is to any particular antibody. And so before, we were able to do this test in the lab, but we didn't know if the lab finding would actually match up to what we saw in a human being. And now we know that the lab test does match up to what we see in people.
So before this trial, the lab test, which by the way has this clunky name, TZMBL, this test was used in the lab to get a sense of the strength of a BNAB. But now, the AMP trial has used this lab test to show that VRC01 can be as potent in someone's body as it was in the lab, as long as it's fighting the right virus. And I just want to clarify, when we talk about the sensitivity of the virus, we're not talking about HIV as a whole. We're talking about one strain versus another, of which there are how many?
Bazillions. We know that there are these major clades or strains of HIV that circulate in different geographic regions of the world. And so we saw, for example, that this particular antibody did somewhat better against clade B strains than it did against clade C strains.
So I'm going to go back to that idea of clades and sensitive viruses. My first question is, when we say clades and strains, do we mean the same thing? And because AMP tested only in clades B and C, what does it mean for clade A, which is circulating where I'm sitting right now in East Africa?
So clade is the scientific name. Strain is the sort of layperson term to describe a clade, but I think of them as being the same thing. And, you know, your question is a really good one because we know that there are these strains in other parts of the world. And so one key finding is that one antibody by itself isn't enough. We're going to need to look at combinations because some antibodies are better at neutralizing and other antibodies are better at addressing a broader spectrum of viruses. And it's not necessarily one antibody that can do both. The terms in science for that are the breadth and the potency. So we need it to be strong and we need it to be broad. We need to look at these antibodies that can have coverage against a wider array of viruses.
Thank you. Yeah, indeed. My other question is that how do you tell what is circulating? And because you talked about this test that can tell you what viruses are actually sensitive. And so I guess you need to match that information with knowledge, very good knowledge of what is circulating. Because what I've understood with AMP is that the prediction of what would be circulating did not come to pass. And so how are we going to be sure what's circulating so that we can match up those two things?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So we designed the AMP study with the assumption that there would be 70% of the viruses that would be susceptible. And what we found was that only about 25%, or you know, a little less than a third, were susceptible. So you're right. We have to focus in on making better predictions. We have to be more on top of sequencing blood samples from people living with HIV in these regions to really make sure that we have a good understanding of what viruses are circulating, and then using the assays that we have to determine whether these are viruses that are susceptible to a particular antibody.
So AMP shows us we need a much better way to track the sensitivity of the viruses that are circulating in a community for a BNAB prevention product to work. I want to ask you, Gail, about a key figure in the findings. It looks like an equation. IC80 at less than 1 microgram per milliliter. This equation describes the concentration of this antibody needed to neutralize 80% of the virus. And this is a readout from the lab test, the TZMBL assay, right?
Right, exactly. What the TZMBL assay does, it can tell us how much antibody is present in your blood and what that level in the blood needs to be, about 1 microgram per milliliter of blood. If it was a strain that was sensitive to the antibody, 1 microgram per milliliter of blood could be actually as high as 85% effective at neutralizing. But again, you have to hit all the targets. You had to have a sensitive strain and you had to have enough antibody in your blood. And if the conditions were right, it works. Now we have proved this concept. We actually can do this. And so now the research moves to how do we make it better? How do we make sure that we have the right antibody or antibody combination that has the potency and the breadth of coverage so that it's going to work against a wide array of viruses? And then how do we make sure that you're going to have enough antibody in your blood to be successful?
I just have a very quick clarification about this TZB.
The assay.
TMB. Let's call it the assay, right? At what point do we use this assay? For me, it seemed like it's something that you do in the lab. You put the BNABs that you think will work through this assay and, you know, up pops, I guess, a number or something. Mm-hmm. And then you can then take them straight to humans, right? Because if you know that, maybe you don't even need to go through non-human primates, or maybe you do.
Yeah, no, I think, we still want to pay attention to our animal and laboratory studies, because that's where we get our initial look at safety, at toxicity, right? Though that kind of a study is still going to give us really important information.
On that note, Gail, there is some disagreement in the field among antibody researchers about whether this assay does show us something you can use in other studies. It's a complicated debate, and in the months ahead, we'll continue to watch and learn. But how do you make sense of this discussion?
I have to say that I'm not up on the technicalities that are involved there, but I think it's important to have people who have a different position and that they can back it up with the data that they're seeing in their own work and challenge our ideas and challenge our concepts. What that says is that our scientific community is really healthy. And to me, you know, the AMP study puts us the next step down that path.